Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that you found time in your schedule to spend these next few moments with me. Well, I began a message on yesterday's broadcast about the fan of God's holy fire, and I'd like to share with you the scriptural reference to that. And to do that, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to start reading at chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Listen to this. Bring forth fruits, therefore fruits, meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Just been reading about the ministry of John the Baptist. But beloved, that ministry that he had, and Jesus called him the greatest of all men, yet he who was least in the kingdom of God was greater than he, because he was ushering in the advent of the ministry of Jesus, and he was, of course, Jesus proclaimed the new covenant. But with the Lord's help, there's some things on my heart I just want to share with you, because the character and nature and person of God has not changed. God's dealing with man has changed. Now, I know there are some Christians, they don't even bother to look at the Old Testament or read it because, well, that's the Old Covenant. That doesn't relate to us today. But listen to what John was preaching. He said, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits, meat, for repentance." And there were those who were hungry, the poor in spirit. They were coming out to hear this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of repentance, and being baptized by him. And there were those who really knew the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He called them a generation of vipers. They were very learned, scholarly. They knew the Mosaic law. They had it down. They knew exactly what the Lord God had commanded from Sinai to his people. But beloved, God is looking at his church today, and he has a fan in his hand. That's what the scripture says, and he's cleaning out his threshing floor. The fan is in his hand. One preacher wrote, "When we experience the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we also experienced a measure of the baptism with fire, mostly in the form of zeal. our spirits were set on fire, and that fire compelled us to tell others about the Lord, to lay hands on the sick, to minister to others. But, beloved, that was only a measure of the baptism of fire. The greatest measure of it has been reserved for the last days. Even though we're experiencing it now, it's going to become greater. Note that John goes on to say that the one who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost in fire has a fan in his hand. Now, what does that mean? Well, the fan is basically a winnowing shovel, and they used to use that because they would take the grain and it was thrown up against the wind. And when the wind would come, it would cleanse the chaff and the straw. The chaff and the straw would be blown away by the wind, but the wheat, being heavier, would fall to the ground. So there's a separation that it's the Word of God says that Jesus is doing. And I believe that's happening now in His church, that God is, He's not just going to fan the fire, but, beloved, He's going to burn up the chaff. And I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered about some Christians? You know, they profess to be Christians, but their lives don't act like it. Or have you looked to Scripture and looked at some of the parables, for example? Remember the story Jesus told about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins? They were all virgins. They were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. In other words, on the surface, they had all the right words. They were waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, but only five of them had oil in their lamps, and the others, they were not that concerned. Now, that was very important because they were supposed to go out and meet, in terms of Jewish customs, that's what they would do when they knew the bridegroom was on his way to the home of his betrothed. They would, go in procession with him to the bride's house. But, beloved, the Scriptures tell us that there are false believers, false prophets, and I would suggest to you that according to the Scripture, unless a person really brings forth fruit, meat for repentance, as John the Baptist was talking about, they may have a religious experience of some kind, but they're truly not saved, because they would exemplify when trouble comes, tribulation, beloved, they fall away. They are an example of those who hear the Word of God, and there's an immediate response. There appears to be an immediate conversion. And yet, what does it say regarding the seed that's sown in stony ground? They receive the Word with gladness. It springs up, but because it has no root, when the trials come, or, you know, it in terms of the natural, it can't get the moisture that it needs. And so when the heat comes, the hot rays of the summer sun, it would wither and die. And I guess we could compare the heat of the sun to the trials, the tribulations, the persecution that a true Christian will go through for Christ. And beloved, much of what we are preaching today in terms of evangelism, as I heard one preacher say, it's really life enhancement. If you give your life to Jesus, you will have a life filled with joy and happiness, and you will be fulfilled, and there's a void in your heart that only God can fill. And rather than preaching the basics of the law, which basically brings men to salvation, when those approached Jesus to understand things more clearly or spiritually, remember the lawyer who came to tempt him? He said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? He presented the law to them, because it is only by knowledge of the law that we understand that sin is exceedingly sinful. And what so much of the modern gospel says, well, you know, if you just turn your heart over to Jesus, things are going to be wonderful. And what happens to those who hear that gladly? You know, they may have had a life of drugs or alcoholism and perversion and all kinds of things. And, well, they'll give Jesus a try. Well, the minute trials come, what happens? They wither away because they had no root in them, because they did not understand the importance of the reality that we are serving a holy God and God hates sin. There has not been a genuine repentance and turning away. Now, they might be very sincere in saying, you know, I really want to try this. I want to try this Christian thing. But unless they understand that they are, every single human being is condemned under the law, because, and in fact, that's why the law was given. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to the knowledge of the horribleness of sin. It was sin that sent our spotless Savior to the cross. And we have to understand that there's the horror of sin, and that God is a righteous God, and he has to punish sin. He will not justify it. In verse 20 of Romans, the third chapter, well, let me read 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them which are under the law. You know, the law applies to those who are on one side of the cross. Once we've accepted Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. But the law is necessary to bring a sinner to Christ. And it goes on to say in verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so, beloved, we need to understand, you know, a sinner needs to understand God has principles, laws, the Ten Commandments, and if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. And until they realize that they are worthy of eternal damnation and separation from God, they will not be grateful for the good news of the gospel, which is the message of salvation. Well, I have so much more to share. My time's just flown by, and I have to bring this broadcast to a close. But I do invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on. Thank you for joining me. I love you, and this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.